And they've got all these salesmen in the meeting, and the president of the Chompy Dog Food Company, he comes in and he says this. He says, "Who's got the best dog food in the country?" And all the salesmen holler back, "We do, we do." And then he says, "Who's got the best marketing in all the dog food companies in America?" And all the salesmen holler back, "What?
We do."
"We do." And all the salesmen holler back, "We do, do." And he says, "Who's got the best product?" And they all shout,
"We do."
"Who's got the best sales team?" They all shout back. And then he pauses and he says, "Well, why are we number 17 out of 18 dog food companies in America?" Well, of course, you know, there's always a newbie on the grounds, right? And there's this new salesman sitting in the back row who doesn't know any better. And he jumps up and it says, "Because the dogs don't like it." This, my friends, is an analogy to the church. Ooh. Who's got the best inerrant word? Who's got the best praise band? Who's got the best Sunday school teachers? Who's got the best RU35 group? We do. Who's got the best, who serves the best mission breakfast? We do. Then why aren't people beating the doors down to get in here? Why are we not just having to increase our staff? Why are we not having to increase the greeters at the door? Why are people not beating down the doors to get in here? And let me tell you why. It's because they don't like us. Well, Peter comes and he gives us a great idea as to why they don't like us. Beginning in chapter 3 and verse 8. Maybe it's because the outside world looks at the church and they don't like what they see. That's why Peter comes to one of the real reasons as to why the world looks at us and doesn't really care for us. And it has to do with the fact that we have poor interpersonal relationship skills among Christians, meaning among ourselves. Listen, it's nothing new. It was happening in Peter's day. And it's definitely still happening in our day. And listen, if this wasn't a problem, then Peter, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wouldn't have brought it up. He wouldn't have mentioned it. Understand, when it comes to the church, when it comes to Christians, the world should look at us and say, "Would you teach us how to get along?" That's who we should be as a church. That's who we should be as Christians, brothers and sisters. That the world should look at us and say, "Would you teach us how to get along?" But instead, the world looks at us and sees us fighting. It sees us arguing. It sees us backbiting and fussing and devouring one another. Yes, we do. And unfortunately, we've sometimes had a beef with somebody or something, and the fight is on between Christians and the church. Somebody didn't get their way. Somebody said this. Somebody said that. Something happened. Anyway, something goes on, and then all of a sudden it's on, and the world looks and says, "Why would we want that? Why would I want to get involved in that? I got that out here. I've got that in my home. So why would I want to come and join this family? I've got that at work. Why do I want to be a part of that on Sunday morning? I've got that out here in the world. Why do I want to be a part of that family?" And this destroys, listen, this destroys the witness of the church. You say, "Well, wait a minute." No, I want you to understand what I mean by that. It destroys the witness of the church unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not about me, it's about Him who lives in me. Right? Well, if you've got your copy of God's Word, 1 Peter chapter 3, and I want to show you something. Now remember, Peter's talking, who he's talking to here, he's talking to hurting people, people who have been hurt, people who have been wounded. Now these are people who, as I've said, weren't just having a bad day on Wall Street. They've lost some of their, where they maybe lost some of their retirement. These people have been pushed out of their homes. They've lost their homes. They've lost everything they had. They lost the cars. They lost the motorcycles. They lost all their possessions, their furniture, everything. All that is gone. And many of their loved ones have been persecuted and abused, and some of them had died because of the persecution. Listen, these are hurting people. These people had been shoved to the very fringe of the Roman Empire. They were literally being forced out. Now, if you go back to chapter 1, verse 1, he's writing to those who are in Pontus, Galatia, and Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. They had been pushed to the edge of the Roman Empire into no man's land. They were pushed out to where no one else wanted to inhabit because the society had turned on them and they had lost it all. They are hurting and they are wounded. Now, one of the great tragedies in all of this is that the church attracts wounded people. Let me repeat that. One of the greatest tragedies in all of this is that the church attracts wounded people. But the sad thing is this, many wounded people who come into the church never find the healing that Jesus Christ brings. They come in wounded every week and they go out wounded every week. And so they move around in the body of Christ and they stay wounded, and then what happens? They wound other people. Because this, let me tell you what often happens, oftentimes is this, hurting people hurt other people. Wounded people wound people. But the real truth of the matter is this, there is healing in Jesus Christ if you allow him to do it. Listen, it may be a process that you're going to go through that you're not going to make you feel real good, but I'm telling you, there is healing in Jesus Christ if you will allow him to do it. And so Peter writes these folks who are hurting, who are wounded, and they are devastated, and he says, listen, he says, pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. The world is watching you in your hurt. The world is watching you in how you respond when you've been wounded. Look at chapter 2, verse 12, where it says this, let your conduct be honorable among the Gentiles, the worldly people, be honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. In other words, you may be wounded, you may be hurt, you may be suffering, but Peter says this, he says, lost people are watching you, Christian. Lost people are watching this church. Lost people are watching. Listen, this is just a building. This is only a church when we as Christians come and fellowship together with one another to come to worship the Lord. We are the church. You take the people out, this is just a building. We are the church. People are watching us, Christians. So listen, Peter says, so live in such a way so that they are drawn to Jesus Christ. So when the world is watching us and they see us fussing and they see us fighting and they see us bicker and they see us tear at one another, that doesn't attract people to Jesus. It's not a good witness for Jesus Christ. Why? It's not attractive to the lost. They've already got that. And then they look inward at us and they see it and it's not attractive to them. And oftentimes it drives other Christians away in the church as a process, let alone the wounded ones that Christ has brought before us. It'll oftentimes drive them away because the church attracts wounded people. So Peter comes and he says, listen, he said, your hurt Christian can become a winning witness. Anybody in here hurting? Listen, I hurt. There's times I hurt. I hurt deeply. You know what? But you know what? I have to understand that how I process and how I deal with that hurt is it can be a winning witness before a lost and hurting world. How I respond, how I act, what I say, it is a witness unto Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to see this. Number one, I want you to see that our witness depends on how we live, right? I want you to see how our witness depends on how we live among the brethren, with each other in the church. Look at verse 8 there. It says what? What's the first word there? Finally. Finally, that means to sum up. In other words, I've said all of this now, everything I've said up to this point, all that I've said now, he's saying this is what he's saying. Finally, he says, I've told you how to live in a relationship to authority. I've talked to you about living your witness out in submission to your employer. I've talked to you about how wives are to be submissive to their husbands, and likewise, how husbands are to live with their wives in an understanding way in submission to God. Listen, these are all relationships, right? All those things deal. He's dealt with this. And he says, finally, now Peter says, finally, he says, I'm going to get to the church. I'm getting to the church. I'm turning to the church. I'm turning to the body of Christ. I'm going to go inside the fellowship, inside the family, and how you live among one another is a witness to the world. Because it either draws people to Christ or it turns people off and turns them away from Christ. So Peter comes down, he's going to give us, in this verse, he's going to give us five things. And the first one, he says this, he says, finally, to sum it all of you be of one mind. The NIV says it like this, it says, be like-minded. The ESV says this, have unity of mind. The New American Standard says, be harmonious. But this is what it means. It means you don't have a split mind. That's what that means. You don't have a split mind. You don't have a split thinking. We are to be of one mind in our thinking. Now, that doesn't mean that we are all to be clones. That's not what that means. That's not what that says there. We're not all to be clones. But it means that when it comes to the Word of God, we all believe that the Word of God is the Word of God. Amen? Are we in agreement? We all believe the Word of God is the Word of God. Understand, we are not going to knowingly let anyone in leadership in this church who is not sold out in the inerrancy and infallibility of the Word of God. It's not going to happen. If you are not sold out to that right there, that one thing, if you're not sold out to that, then you're not going to be a leader in this church. Why? Because we're all like-minded and we believe that the Word of God is inerrant and infallible. Amen? We believe in the doctrines of the Holy Scripture, right? We believe what the Scripture says is true. We believe in the doctrines of Holy Scripture. We believe and we hold to the doctrines of God's Word. We believe that Jesus Christ is the God-man who died on Calvary, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on Calvary's cross, was buried, resurrected, ascended, and is coming back. We all hold these things together, do we not? Amen. We are like-minded, right? But that doesn't mean you lose your personality. I know you're thinking, well, I wish this person were that person. No, I want you to focus on you. I want you to focus on me. Randy's not here. Don't focus on Jim. Don't focus on Zeke. Don't focus on Steve. You can focus on Kenny if you want. But listen, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that you lose your personality. It doesn't mean that you lose who you are. Now, we have this great praise band. We have this great praise band, but do you understand that Cynthia doesn't sing the same part as Mike does? And Mike doesn't sing the same part as Leah does, which was absent today, prayer for her, she's sick. But Mike doesn't sing the same part that Leah does. And Kathy over here doesn't play the same part as Kevin does. And Richie, well, we're really not sure what he does. I mean, I don't know, but it's different, okay? It's different, all right? They are all different parts, but when they all come together in their different parts, they make a perfect, what? Harmony. They sing different parts, but they harmonize. There is a beauty in it, isn't there not? There's a beauty in it because they harmonize together as one, although they sing different parts and play different parts at the same time. That's what Peter is saying here. That's what he's saying. There is or should be a harmony among us. There should be a oneness, a togetherness in here that is attractive to the world, that the folks out there, that they should be looking in here, and there's something about that they want, that it is attractive to them. So understand what Peter is saying here. When they see harmony among the people of God, the world is attracted to it. Why? Because it's different than what they're living in. It's different than what they're experiencing. And they want something different. They want something pure. They want something true. They want something that will last. They want something that will hold up. They want something that somebody cannot take. And let me give you the second thing that should be among the brethren. And that is this: having compassion for one another. The NIV says, be sympathetic. The ESV says, have sympathy. The New American Standard says, be sympathetic. That means this. Here's what that means: with feeling. Having feeling for one another, having compassion for one another. Like I have feeling with you, I feel with you. There is a feeling that that we share for one another. When you have joy, I feel that joy with you. When you have happiness, I feel happiness with you. But also when you have hurt, I feel that hurt with you. Somebody, I know that somebody shared about somebody struggling in the church this morning. Led me to the prayer that I prayed. Why? Because I've been where that, I can identify with that. I don't like to be in that place, and I don't want them to be in that place either. Because you know what? It's a stinky place to be. When you have hurt, I feel the hurt with you. And listen to me, that in itself is attractive to the outside world. You have feelings. I mean, you care. We see how you sympathize with one another. We see how you care for one another, how you feel for one another, how you support one another. Now, folks, when we do that in here among one another, that reaches for people for Jesus. That's what Peter's saying. When we do that and act like that in here and feel for one another like that in here, that will reach people out there for Jesus. Listen to me. It is not our gossip. Not sitting in your living room beating up on the preacher or Sunday school teacher or a person in the church who has faltered or who has messed up. We need to be sympathetic, not gossip. Why? Because gossip comes from who? Satan. The root word of gossip is whisper, and whisper is the root comes out of Satan. Listen, we need to be sympathetic. We need to be caring for one another. Amen? Now let me give you the third thing, and that the brethren should have this. They should have love as brothers. Now the NIV says this. It says love one another, but the ESV and the NASB says this: be brotherly. Now listen, I have two brothers. And if either one of my brothers called me and said, listen, I need this or I need that, I'll be there for them if at all possible. If I can ever do anything that I can possibly, my human being, do, I will be for them and for my sister too. As you've seen, if you're paying attention. Why? Because I love them. I love them. And therefore, I'll put myself out for them. I would do anything for them. I care for them, and they care for me. That's the concept here. It's not just this Philadelphia love, where the word that you're familiar with that means a brother love. It goes beyond that kind of love. It goes beyond that of what we normally think, because in this concept here, this word has a different slant to it. It means this. It means to serve. To love one another. To serve one another. I serve my brother, I serve my sister. That's the intention of being brotherly. That's what Jesus did on the night when he girded himself with a towel and he got down on his hands and knees and he did what to the disciples? He washed the feet of the disciples. You remember that? He was serving them, their brothers. It was something that was needed to be done. There was nobody there to do it. So he took a cloth and girded himself and he did it. There was no one else there to do it. Jesus did it. He was willing to be the servant. And that's what Peter is saying here. Inside this fellowship, we should be serving one another. Amen. If you know that I have a need, then you should help me out. But if I know that you have a need, I should help you out. We should help one another in time of need. Number four, among the brethren is this, is compassion. Having compassion for one another. You know, this relays the feeling of being tender-hearted towards your brother. It's very easy to be critical. It's always very easy to be critical. It's easier to be critical than encouraging. You've got to practice at being encouraging. But this, what this has, says, to have compassion for one another, it relates to the feeling of being tender-hearted towards your brother. It's like you feel it right here. You feel it in your gut. You know what I'm talking about? You feel it down in here. There's a compassion. There's a feeling. There's the feeling that I want to help my brother. Your brother is going through something, and it gets you right here. You feel it. There's some compassion. There's some compassion toward whoever that is. Now, I want to tell you something. That lacks in the church today. You all know what random acts of kindness are, right? You all heard of that, random acts of kindness? There have been movies about it, and honestly, there have been movements about it. But Donna was telling me about Jacob Ramsey. He's actually back serving with his mom in the extended program this morning, and he didn't get to hear this. But Donna was telling me about Jacob Ramsey is in a club called the AOK Club. And it's a goal, and its goal and mission is this, to show kindness. That's what the club does, is they figure out their goal and mission is to show kindness to other people. Listen, there should not have to be a movement about that. The church should be the movement in that. The people out there should be looking in us and thinking, can't they teach that to me? Church, we should be taking the lead on this. What a novel idea, right? Look at the last is this. The last in our witness is courteous. Among the brethren, there should be a courteousness. Is that a word? The ESV says this, have a humble mind. The NSAV says be humble in spirit. The NIV says be humble. You know, the great analogy of that is power under control. I always use the horse and the bit in its mouth. Power under control, humble. You know what that is? You've heard this word over the last couple months, over and over and over. You know what humble is? Under control, humble, power under control. You know what that is? Submission. Submission. That's submission, folks. And isn't that what Peter has been talking about in this entire section? Submission. Do you not see Jesus Christ in all of this, in the whole entirety of this? Aren't these the characteristics that make up Jesus Christ? Think about it. Isn't that what we see our Lord doing over and over and over in Scripture, over and over and over in our lives? He treats us this way. He is sympathetic. He's a servant to us. He's kind-hearted. He's humble in spirit. Jesus Christ says, I am meek in what? He says, I am meek and lowly of heart, humble, and I am not to, I'm not to be living my life to be more like him. It should not be living my life to be more like Jesus Christ. Now that is what really breaks my heart as a pastor. People who talk about to tear down, who gossip about other people in the body, and yes, it does happen, unfortunately. And I know it happens, and people find out about it, and it hurts them. I find about it, and it crushes me to think that we do this to one another. Why? What is it in us that would do or say something to or about somebody in this body that would make them cry? Now listen, I'm not talking about intentionally, I'm talking about doing something intentionally or in gossip. I'm talking about doing something intentionally or in gossip here that would set out to rip someone to crush them. And isn't it that there are people in the church body who feel like they don't fit in? We would like to think that everybody seated in church this morning, either here or anywhere else, feel like they fit in, right? But there are people in church today who feel like they don't fit in. They stand off by themselves and they feel like they are not a part of this body, a member who feels like they don't belong. Let me ask you this simple question. Why is that? Let me tell you my opinion. It's usually because somebody somewhere has said something. Real profound, right? It's usually because somebody somewhere has said something. So let me ask, why do we shoot each other in the church? Don't you know that there's a devil out there that do that? So why do we do it to one another? A place where, get this, a place where redeemed sinners are holding others hostage in their sin. When they are down, we say, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty, no grace for you. Listen to me that I'm about to tell you, church, and I'm preaching to me in this so you know. It's hypocritical. And greater than that, it affects your witness. And listen to me, and the world is watching. You know, I have this apple tree back in the very back of my yard. If you've ever been to my house, you know there's a couple trees way down in the back there that border my property line. And one of those trees is an apple tree. And the very top of that tree, in the middle, on the very top of that tree, it's dead. You know why it's dead? Well, about midway down in that tree, it got struck by lightning. And lightning damaged that tree. And the witness, listen, and the witness of the tree is in the top, where it should be green and lush and inviting and beautiful. And what else should it be doing? It should be producing. But because the tree got injured, because that tree got hurt, the nutrients and the energy are no longer being pumped into that tree like it should be. That since that injury, that tree has never produced another fruit. But yet it still has some life. It's still alive. Its leaves are green all around the outside of it, but on the inside of it, it's dead. And it's not full of fruit-bearing life anymore. No fruit at all grows on the tree now. But before that injury, watch, but before that injury, there were tons of apples on that tree, but now not a single fruit is produced on that tree. And that happens in the church. And if you are doing it, if you're striking somebody, if you've been a part of it, get before God and repent. And listen, if you have been the one who got struck, don't let the strike of someone take the life out of you, out of the body of Christ. You need to forgive. Even if they ask you for it or not, you need to forgive. Why? If you was in Zeke's Sunday school class this morning, because you're carrying a dead man on your back. And it'll stink. And it'll cause you to decay just like that thing that you're carrying will decay. Listen, don't let a strike of someone take the life out of the body of Christ. And don't let it take the life out of you. Amen? Listen, don't let that happen. Listen, this happened in Peter's day, and unfortunately, not much has changed in 2,000 years later. Christians hurting Christians, and how we handle that is a witness to Jesus Christ. How we handle that is a witness to Jesus Christ. If we go out and gossip, backbite, and run one another down, what kind of witness is it for Christ? What kind of witness is it for the church? Besides, is that how Scripture says to handle it? Is that how we're supposed to handle this? Is to strike and backbite and gossip about one another? No, we are to come together and we're to work it out. What an idea, right? And if we don't, the Word says that we should not take communion. That's how serious that Jesus talks about this, against brother. That the Word says that we should not take communion. That's why we need to be God-honoring even in the division among us. We need to have a system of honoring God in the division among us. We are not, listen, we are not to work out our problems in here like they do down at the bar. Or at the hair salon. Nor at lunch with friends. We should not be about bashing other believers. Someone needs to stand up and say, I will not be a part of this. Why? Because Christians, we are not like the rest of the world. We are to be different. We are to be in the world, but what? Not part of the world. We are not to be like the rest of the world. We are set apart. We are to be different. We are set apart. We are holy. We are set aside. We are to be different. We should not ever destroy the witness of the church or each other. Who is the church? Listen to me. Chompy dog food will never be number one if dogs don't like it. They can have the best things, all the best programs in that company in still and in place. But if dogs don't like it, they'll never but be number one. And listen, the church, this church will never be number one if people don't like us. But get this, and hear me when I say this, we will never be number two, number three, number four, number five, if we don't love one another in here first. Now, all in all, I think we do a pretty good job. All in all. But we can do much, much better. We need to. And you know what? It needs to begin with me. But we could do much, much better because people run to all different types of things to find acceptance. They run to all different kinds of things to find community and to find a place to fit in. But that place needs to be church. That place needs to be church. And I would love it to be this church because I don't think, and listen, I think that we have the best people here. I do. Listen, I love each and every one of you, some more than others. Some of you are difficult to love. Listen, I get it. You same way with me. Some of you think, yeah, you ain't so easy to love yourself. I get it. But do we have anything in common here? Yes. Listen, I love you all, and I love being a part of you all. Have I hurt people? Unfortunately, I have. Unfortunately, I have hurt people. But thankfully, I can say most of it was not intentionally. But sometimes that happens. You know, for myself, it's usually when I hurt somebody, it's been in times of accountability. When I have to approach people. Now, there's a fine line there, you understand? Most of the time, it's in times of accountability when I have to approach people, and no matter how loving you try to present it, feelings get hurt. Why? Because emotions run high. And people sometimes feel rejected and when that is not what the motivation of accountability is. That's not the motivation of accountability. Motivation of accountability is just the opposite of that. But for me, the times that I have hurt people have been in those times of accountability. I have unintentionally hurt people. It has happened. You understand? I have Christian people who will not speak to me. How do you think that makes me feel? I feel horrible. It affects me spiritually. Those times have an effect on me as well, just like they do you. Listen, I don't want people to feel that I hurt them. That's not who I am. That's not what I want. I don't want that. That's not what I'm about. That's not what most of you want either. Amen? You don't want that. So when that happens, when you hurt someone unintentionally, you know what? You need to go and apologize. You need to ask for forgiveness. And if they are not willing to forgive, then here's the thing I can tell you. If they're not willing to forgive, you need to leave the door of restoration open forever. Listen, I can't make somebody forgive. And I can ask for forgiveness, and I can say I forgive you or you forgive me, but you can't make me forgive you, and I can't make you forgive me. But listen, if I get in that situation, the only thing I can do is leave the door of restoration open. Amen? Because listen, I'm not the only one. I use myself as an illustration here, but I'm not the only one. There are others in here who have gone through these exact same things, and it has affected you spiritually, and it has affected your witness, and it has affected the witness of the church. It has affected the church's witness. But listen, I know of other times that people hurt, and it seems intentional. They talk about other people. They embellish the situation. They gossip. They backbite. And they say this: "Well, I was just doing that because I was concerned." Listen to me closely. I'm getting ready to wrap this up. Listen to me closely. If you are not, listen, if anybody wanted to go talk about people, I have a lot I could talk about people. Do you see me on the internet? Do you hear about me sitting in places talking about you? Listen to me closely. If you're not talking about someone to build them up and help them out, then stop it. How's that for a divine inspirational word? If you're not talking about somebody to build them up and help them out, then stop it. You know the conversation at lunch? The conversation in your living room when friends are over? Facebook? If it's not wholesome talk with genuine concern, then stop it. Do you remember what happened when they brought the woman who was caught in the act of adultery before Jesus? She was caught in sin. These were the holy people of the day. These were the ones that surrounded in the synagogue. They got this woman. I don't know why they didn't bring the man, but they just brought the woman. And they brought him before Jesus and said, "This, we caught this woman in an act of adultery. What are you going to do?" And what did he say? "You what? Without what? You cast the first stone." Listen, I know I'm not perfect. I know that. But you need to remember, you aren't either. Remember that. Listen, I'm taking that out of Scripture. You who are sinless, you cast that first stone against the brother or sister. Listen, none of us are perfect. We all have a fault. We all have a closet. Listen, if you've hurt someone, then go to them. If you've hurt someone, go to them and say that you are sorry and mean it. Listen, this family, I love this family. This family is not unlike any other family, though. We are all different, amen? We're all different. I know everybody wants to be like me, but you can't. Listen, we're all different. And there's going to be times when we will disagree. It's not if, it is when. Do you think I always agree with Jim? No. Do you think I always agree with Randy? No. Do you think I always agree with Zeke? No. Do you think I always agree with Steve? Hardly ever. There are times when we will disagree, but we have things that are in common that are above all those things. Right? We have a Christ, a God, who came to pay for our sins and saved and redeemed us. And He is our Lord and our Savior, our Redeemer. He is the one in whom we bow before and give praise to His holy name. And in Him, all things are possible, even if I'm right and you're wrong. Or even if you're wrong and I'm right. You're getting there. You're getting there. Listen, there will be times that we disagree, and when that happens, we need to figure out a way to work it out in love. And if you've been doing it, like I said earlier, get before God and repent, because our witness depends on how we live among the brethren. Our witness depends on how we live among the brethren and how effective we will be. Listen. It will be a result of how effective we will be in reaching the lost. What do you think we're here for? Why did God commission us and save us? Save us and then commission us, I should say. to reach the lost, right? How we live affects how, in here will affect how we were reaching the lost. And in that, listen, and in that, I believe we would all agree, amen? 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 Thank you. That's what we need to be. We need to be effective in reaching the lost. So, listen, I don't know about you, but I'd love to be number one. I don't like to be number two. I don't like to be the first loser. I want to be number one. I want you to be number one. I want you to want it just as badly as I want it, and just as bad as Christ wants you to want that. So, I'm sure that you want this church to be a good witness. Don't you not? Do you want this church to be a good witness? Well, you know who that begins with? Not me. Not just me. It begins with you. It begins with me. It begins with you. It's personal. He's talking to us corporately. Peter's talking to us corporately, but he's talking to us individually. For us to be number one at reach a lost and dying world, it begins with you and me personally. Who wants to be number one? Let's stand. Understand, when the church loses its witness, it's because the people in the church have lost theirs. When the church loses its witness, it's because the people in the church has lost theirs. It's because the people in the church have moved away from Christ. That's the truth. Because when we stop looking like Christ, then the church stops looking like Christ. And that's not God's plan for us as His church. Amen? Listen, God saved you, the church. He saved me, the church. And He has a mission and a purpose, and that is to reach the lost. And there might be somebody in here, you bow your heads, just please bow your heads. There's somebody in here saying, you know what, I don't have purpose in my life. Yes, you do. God is speaking to you today and saying, look, you have a purpose in my kingdom. If you will confess your sins, believe and trust in me, and follow me, I will give you one of the greatest purposes that can ever be given, because it'll be an eternal purpose. And that is to serve me. But you can't do that apart from Him. You can do good works, you can do good things, you can do kind things, but if they're not as unto the Lord, then they're really not good at all. You need to come and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and ask Him to come into your life and to save you. Maybe you've come today and you're struggled, you're hurt, and you've been hurt, and you need somebody to pray with you. You need to come to the altar and just pray by yourself, and then you come. Maybe you need to go to another brother or sister in this place today and say, you know what? I think I may have offended you. I'm sorry. Dear Lord, here's the truth of the matter, Lord. We are desperate without you. So we come to this point in the service where we want to reach out to you with our heart and our soul. We want to give you our heart. We want you to give you our soul. We want you to be in control. Lord, for us to be number one, to be effective in the soul winning as a loving, compassionate, kind, humble church, Lord, we need to be changed from the inside. That we would be a great witness to you in this world. So we ask you, Lord, to come and consume us, Lord, from the inside out. That we would bring you praise inside of here and outside of here. that in our lives we will be different, that we will be holy, that we will be set apart for your purpose. And Father, and even that, to love one another in here. And Father, teach us how to do that. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lead and guide us. Give us discernment in your word as we study it. Help us to receive it in truth. And Father, let it be knowledge unto our hands and to our feet and to our mind and our lips, that how will we respond in certain situations will always be glorifying to you, that your witness would be above all things in our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.